Okay. You know, Doug, you're on. This is Doug is don't have a bio for Doug, but Doug is down in San Diego, and he was the point guy for the Pine Valley Men's Retreat in Pine Valley, just up in the mountains outside of San Diego. So I asked him if he'd like to give a short talk, and he was gracious enough to give us a short talk on a very, very good subject. So, Doug, thank you, man.
Yeah, my privilege. Wow, you guys are being too kind. You might want to hold that. I'm going to lower the bar further than John lowered it today, trust me. Like Dan said, I'm Doug Tabor. I've been attending Zion since 2015, and it's a privilege to be in front of you brothers. Always be ready, right? Let's pray. Father, we're here, I'm here, where you brought me. Please activate the Holy Spirit in me so I might rightly divide the word of truth this evening to do thy will, not my own, all to your glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Gents, I'd like to begin with a quote that I received, a few weeks back from Lyle in one of his daily emails. If you're not getting Lyle's emails, you should sign up. So a quote from Walt Henriksen, kind of tied into this talk of hope that's been on my heart since I was in a study with David Schoaf and Lance Gowan through 1 Peter. Walt says, "Your self-denial does not attract a watching world. Many walk around in self-deprivation, scaring those who meet them. Nor do your ethics attract people. Many find people live outside the pale of God's grace. Rather, Peter says that it is the object of your hope that will attract. Your focus is on the eternal promises of Christ rather than the temporal inheritance promised by the world." Question, what is the object of your hope today? If you would, please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's going to be our home base. I'm going to be all over the place, and we're shortening up this talk because we're a little off schedule, so I'm going to move relatively quickly. But 1 Peter is we're going to spend a big chunk of our time. You know, in his first letter, Peter writes to early believers in Rome who were being persecuted heavily at that time. In fact, Jerry touched on it earlier this morning briefly. The Emperor Nero, who was ruling at that time, you might recall, he was the ruthless Roman emperor who accused Christians as scapegoats of causing the great fire in Rome. Christians were being arrested. There were property confiscations. There were executions. He even had Christians tarred, hung, and lit on fire to become torches for the city and for the gardens. It was terrible persecution. Terrible, terrible. And the Apostle Peter, in his letter to the church, is encouraging them to conduct themselves courageously during these fiery trials, to place their hope firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. May God bless the reading of his word. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Gents, we navigate through an unpredictable world, through a life that by many measures is considered short. Scripture tells us that our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes. Like a grass, it withers. Let me ask you, how do you describe your life? Some might say wonderful, amazing, successful. Others might say painful, depressing, tragic. What we know is life is unpredictable. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We can't speculate if it's going to bring tranquility or trials. Only God knows. But there is one thing that we must all face, gents. One thing. And that one thing is death. No matter what type of life you're living, here's the hard truth. Life is short, and then we die. All of us. Like a horror movie, none of us are getting out of here alive. Now, I want to take a pause because after Jerry's talk this morning, I was reminded that there is one possibility that we might be all getting out of here alive before we die. That, the rapture excluded, none of us are getting out of here alive. The grave is our destiny. And dying's not a pleasant thought. You know, there's an old saying that people fear public speaking more than death itself. And I just don't buy it. I have a feeling that if I pulled out a 45 and held it to your head and said, speak or else, that you'd become pretty loquacious, probably more loquacious than a TV talk show host, right? I mean, people fear death. Let's face it. And you know, it was this terrible thought of death that caused me to come knocking on Christ's door back in 2010, 11, 12, 13, somewhere around that time. You know, as an unbeliever, the thought of death terrified me. Of course it did. I had no concept of what death was. You know, to me, that concept was blackness. It was just lights out. It was just here today, dead tomorrow. There was no even awareness of it being dark or it being horrible. It was just no existence. And that's a pretty terrifying thought. And you know, it made me realize that I had to make a change. And like I said, I was knocking at Christ's door, and I kept knocking and I kept knocking. But honestly, Christ didn't answer. I didn't have a Paul moment. Let's just put it that way. You know, I was desperate. And, you know, the other day yesterday, seems like a while ago, when Dan said, who was making altar calls? Guess who was the only redhead in the room, the only guy raising his hand, right? It was me. Yes, I was making altar calls. I was desperate. I was making altar calls through every service, three services on a Sunday. You know, I was living in a living hell, and I was knocking hard, and Jesus wasn't opening the door. But you know what? Finally, I dropped to my knees, and I cried out. I'd committed a grave sin, and finally, Jesus opened that door, and he lifted me up, and he filled my heart, and he lit my heart up, and at that very moment, everything changed. How many of you gents can relate? Our belief in Jesus Christ gives us hope. A living hope. It's salvation for our souls. Our hope is for eternal life. He offers this gift to you, and this gift to you, the gift to me. He offers the gift to everybody. A living hope. And gents, what I'd like to do over the rest of our time here is just spend a little while focusing on this word hope. You know, last night, Bill did a great job talking about the four-letter word, the other four-letter word that starts in H. And tonight I'm going to talk about the glorious four-letter word that starts in H, hope. Hope appears a lot in the Bible. In my New King James Bible, it appears 134 times. For you King James readers, 121 times. I know we have a lot of NASB in the room, 132 times. ESV, 144 for the pastors, and NIV, 159. Clearly, hope is an important tenet to the Christian faith, to our faith. The Greek word for hope is elpis. There are a few definitions, but the one I would emphasize is the one on the screen. Hope, the confident expectation of eternal salvation. There are many Hebrew words and meanings for hope, to wait, to be patient, but I like this one, a place of refuge, hope. King David had quite a bit to say about hope. Psalm 16:9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all you hope in the Lord. Psalm 71:5, for you are my hope, O Lord, God, you are my trust from my youth. The Old Testament prophets spoke of hope quite often. Jeremiah 7:17, I love this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Do you want to survive the drought? Do you want to yield fruit? Place your hope in the Lord. You know, if you back up a couple verses in Jeremiah 17:5, it starts off this way. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. You put your faith in man, cursed. You put your faith in the Lord, you're watered and you're yielding fruit. The prophet Isaiah understood hope, and I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Of course, the New Testament references hope often. In Paul's defense before Felix, the book of Acts, Acts 24:15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches? Jerry talked about this. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? We're the saints. We have hope in an inheritance of riches when we place our hope in the Lord. Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, Titus 3:7, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And there you have it. The hope of eternal life. Not death, but eternal life. Again, gents, what is the object of your hope? Where are you placing your hope today? Is it in closing the next deal? I'm a real estate agent. Are we hoping in closing the next deal? For the athletes in the room, is it winning the next title? Do you hope you win that next title? Finance guys, are you hoping for a soft landing, Shof? And then here's a big one, the upcoming elections. You know, as we come upon another election cycle, we have friends, we have fellow Americans that are putting their hope in one man or woman, that they're going to change everything for them. And you know, when you think about it, and we've experienced it, after every election night, exactly half of the country wakes up in a whole bunch of disappointment. They put their hope in something that wasn't tangible. I live in California, the self-proclaimed reproduction freedom state, aka the abortion capital of the United States. It's ridiculous. In this next election cycle, am I going to put my hope in that things are going to change? No. Nope. You know, I love this country. I'm a Marine Corps veteran, patriot. but I'm starting to agree with what Peter says. You know, we're pilgrims here. You know, our hope is somewhere else. Amen. Cares of this world disappoint. The closing of business deals disappoint. Men of this world disappoint. But there's another option, gents, and you know what that option is. A son of the Father who became flesh and dwelt among us, died on the cross for us, for our sins, the King who now sits at the right hand of God. He will never lie to you. He will never disappoint you. He will lift you up when you are down. His burden is light. He is our living hope. I love this message in the book of Hebrews. I'm going kind of fast, but hang in there. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. Gents, you're men. Don't you want to attach to something sure and steadfast? Don't you want to attach to that stone, that chief cornerstone? Don't you want to anchor your families to something sure and steadfast? It's Jesus Christ. He's our hope. Gents, you want to overcome the trials of life? Do you want to conquer death? Do you want to be ready when the persecution comes? Jerry's talked about it. It's going to come. We know it's going to come. Let us return to 1 Peter. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. 1 Peter says we're going to face persecution. So does James. So does Romans. So does 1 Timothy. Many areas in the Bible. We're going to face those various trials, but rejoice in suffering, knowing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also suffered. And you know what? He suffered for our sins. All right, as we wrap up, let's continue in 1 Peter for some application. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, gents, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gents, we stay sober, we keep our heads on straight, we focus on the grace of Christ. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Gents, do you read your Bible daily? Do you study your Bibles daily? Are you meeting with other men that are studying your Bibles? Are you coming to these conferences? Clearly, I'm preaching to the choir. But are you growing in the word? Are you growing in the word? You know, the greatest piece of advice I got when I was at one of the previous retreats was when Dave Schoaf was doing a talk. I don't even remember what the talk was about, but Dave held up his Bible and said, get in this book. Get in this book. You know, I was one of the guys that came up in 2015. I was in that car with Jermone and David, and Jermone and I were lukewarm. Like I said, I was desperate. I was going to church, man. I was trying to read the Bible. I was at that retreat in 2015. I wanted something to happen. I wanted that feeling of the Holy Spirit into me. And guess what? It didn't happen. It was a slow burn for me. And you might be sitting in this audience the same way I was. Maybe you got invited to this retreat and you're like, man, these guys are all cool, but they're going on a little bit too much about this Bible. I promise the best piece of advice we can give you, open this book up and read it. 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays. You'll get through the whole thing in a year. The first 10 months of the year is a little rough because that's how long it takes to get through the Old Testament, right? It's a little rough. But you know what? Once you get to November, you open up the New Testament and it's hope, the hope that Jesus Christ brings you. And finally, as we're getting close to the end here, real close, the verse that inspired this entire message of hope, this has been resting on my heart for about 2 years now since I did that study with Lance Gowan. Have you ever been in a study and you read a verse and you're just like, it just stops you? And you're like, whoa. You know, and everybody else is kind of moving on, but you're like, this verse just, I just woke up. And that was this verse in 3:15. It just won't leave me. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you, a reason for the hope that is in you. For the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear, gotta admit I'm working on the meekness part. Fear, especially after Bill's talk last night. But gents, we put the Lord first in our hearts. We honor God in our hearts. We honor Jesus. We sanctify him in our hearts. And then we be ready. We're ready to give a defense. You know, when those downtrodden friends, those disappointed friends after election night come to you and you're just whistling through the hall and they're like, man, how can you be so cheery after last night? Tell them, look, man, my hope isn't here. It's not in this election cycle. My hope isn't here. We don't have to live our best life here, Joel Osteen. That's not what we're here for. We don't have to depend on the results of the election cycle. We are no longer having to fear death. Right? Death is now the beginning of eternity. Amen? Amen. I got 32 seconds left. Gents, when you place your hope not in the things of this world, but in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you get the gift of the Father who cannot lie. You get the hope of eternal life. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for the gift of grace, the gift of peace, and the gift of eternal life that comes as we place our hope steadfastly in you. We love you and glorify you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Jesus Christ, our living hope. Amen.